we're moving in, as you can see behind me, called by name. How many have ever had one of those moments where out of the darkness, out of the large crowds, you heard your name echo, and it was just, it caught your attention? Maybe today as you were walking in, you had your, you know, head down, you were going to this, and somebody yells out, Curtis. That's not your name, actually, for a few in this place. Little Curtis, Big Curtis, and I'm Middle Curtis. There's a whole bunch of Curtises in this place. But maybe you heard your name, and it catches your attention, and you spin around like that. Ever been there? How many know that when a teacher or a parent calls all of your names, you know you're in trouble? Growing up, you would never believe it, but I may have got myself into trouble from time to time. And it wasn't usually Dad calling my name that caught my attention. It was Mom. If you've ever seen Mom and Dad right now, they're ministering in Espanola, but they're usually here often when they're not. Mom's about 5'4", and Dad's 6'4". I was more scared of the 5'4" than I was of the 6'4". And so in that moment, Mom would have these things, and I knew if I heard just Curtis, we're good. But if I heard Curtis James Goodry, in that moment, my head turned around, and it was like, I need to pay attention. Ever been there? In this same way, we're going to talk about the fact that God knows you by name. Even today, if you're like, I don't know him, I don't want to know him, he knows your name, he knows your story, and he knows your future. And today, as we're going to unpack scripture and start on a journey that we're going to go on for the next month or two, is there's a truth today that God wants to call you by name, and he still is. That in our hurt, in our loss, in our triumph, he knows your name and he calls you by name. But he doesn't just call us to know us, but he calls us to give us purpose. He calls us to challenge us to go, to step into all that he has for your life, because God knows you, he made you, and he's called you with this divine purpose for your life. It doesn't matter what someone else has said about you, what you've believed about yourself. Hopefully by the time we're through this series, you will realize that God is calling you, God has a plan for your life, and no matter what others have said, it is a good plan. And so as we start off, we start right from the very beginning of Hope Calls. If you're taking notes this morning, that's the title of our message. Hope Calls, because even in the midst of a season where it seemed like all hope was lost, one single word, called by name, changes everything. Changes the path of an individual's life, changes the path of others' lives, and from a place of darkness, a place of hopelessness, hope rises up. From one call of when one time Jesus said, Mary. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to look at John 20, verse 11 to 18, reading from the New Living Translation, and this is what it said. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she stooped low and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they've put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. If you've got your Bible today, you've got it on an iPad, you've got it on someone else's Bible, you should underline it or underline it in theirs. But she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? And she thought he was the gardener. Can you imagine this for just a second? Mary is worked up. Mary is devastated because Jesus has been killed. Jesus is in the tomb. Now she comes there, and as we even said a little bit last week, it seems like things have only gotten worse. The rest of the disciples have gone back. They're back in the room, but Mary is standing there, and she is staying there, and now it looks like he is gone. She encounters angels, and she hears what they have to say, but still hope isn't rising up within her. Still grief and all of this is still plaguing her in this journey. So much so that Jesus is standing right there talking to her, but she doesn't see it and doesn't see him. Even so much as the one who was her teacher, as we're going to see, her Lord, her Savior, her Messiah, she says, are you just the gardener? And so in this moment, she says, "Sir," she replied, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. By her name, he calls her. In the confusion, in the blurred vision, he goes, "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and you to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave him his message. So we're going to unpack this a little bit this morning, because I think there's some truths that not only are in that day, but I think there's some truths that we can apply to our own lives and our own journeys even today, all these years later after the resurrection. But the first we have to look at is hope calls. That in this season where Mary is there, and Mary's doing a good thing, everyone else has left, but Mary, with her care and her grief, in that moment of saying, "I just want to be close to him. I still want to be there. I want to care for him. He's my Messiah. He's my teacher, and everything is lost. I don't know where else to turn, but I'm just going to faithfully stay here." But in that moment, she's leaning in, and Jesus is not there in her mind. And so she's sitting there thinking, "This is terrible." Can you imagine the pain, the fear, all the different emotions that are going through her heart and through her mind, probably running rampant all throughout? Then she sees angels, and that doesn't change it. Still in this moment, she's still blurred by the pain, still blurred by the despair. Now Jesus is right there, standing right beside her in conversing with her, and she still doesn't realize it. She still doesn't recognize him. And the question is, if you're looking at this, have you ever read through Scripture and said, "How do they not see?" You know, maybe you were talking about Samson and like, did you not realize Delilah was bad? Ever in those moments have those journeys of saying, how did they not realize that this was not happening and that Jesus was right there? But in this truth, we see a truth that many of us have encountered. You can be near to Jesus and still miss him. You can be here this morning in church. You can open up the text. You can open up the Word of God, but you can still miss him and what he wants to speak and do in your life and through your life. Many of us have been like bumps on a log, even inside of the church, and Jesus is right there next to you, and the Holy Spirit is speaking, and we're like, "Where are you, Jesus?" Sometimes we behave very much like Mary in these moments, but we have to realize that he is closer than you think. But if we allow it to, pain of the past, pain of the present, the circumstances and moments that you are walking through in your life can cause you to have blurred vision and things in your ears. Going back to when I would often get in trouble, Mom would say, "You need to listen up," and being, maybe I only did it once, in those moments, have you ever seen a kid do this? They put their fingers in their ear and they're like, "I can't hear you." Only did that once. But in those moments, it's that same kind of thing. But often in our lives, like we see encountered with Mary in this moment, her heart was for Jesus. She was pursuing him. She wanted to be close to him. She loved him. He was his teacher. All of those things, but the hurt, the journey that she was on had blurred her vision, had put things in her ears that she couldn't see the truth. She couldn't see her Savior. She couldn't see Rabboni right there. How many times do we do the same thing? We've been hurt in the church. We've been hurt in our lives. We've been hurt by somebody. We know how to get free and what the Scriptures say of how we should get free because of Jesus and through Jesus and what he did on the cross. But because of that, because of our circumstances, because of our hurt, we end up missing what he wants to do and what he has already done. We keep living in our mess even though the cross has already made a way for freedom. We keep living in the fear, but we know, you and I know, we have the end of the story, that the story didn't end at the cross, but he is resurrected, and he sends the Holy Spirit so we can walk in the resurrected life that he made a way for. But how many times is he right there beside us, talking, leading, speaking, directing, and we sit there and say, "I can't hear you." But in that moment, even when she doesn't recognize him, there is a truth that you and I can grab this morning, and maybe you need to grab for the very first time, is that truth that he was there the whole time. If today you feel like Jesus isn't engaged in your life, he is distant and far off, he doesn't care, he isn't listening, I want you to know that he is there and he has been there the whole time. He has not forsaken you, he has not left you, he is right there. We just need to have the eyes and ears of our spirit and our heart to see what he is doing, that he is walking with us. He was present, but he was not perceived. And how many times, church, can we say that's still true today? That he's present, he's moving, he's directing, he's leading, but we're not perceiving. And you could say, well, maybe she just couldn't see. Maybe she was, maybe her eyes were blinded like we see of those who are walking on the road to Emmaus. But no, Jesus himself begins to speak to her, but she didn't recognize it even in his voice. She didn't recognize what he was saying. She's like, Mary, Mary, relax, I'm right here. Are you the gardener? And Jesus, you know, could have got a little bit worked up. Do I look like the gardener? Like, seriously. But in those moments, that's not what he says, and that's not how he responds, and that's not how he responds to you and me, even when our eyes are blurred and our ears are plugged. He sits there and he calls us by name and he says, Mary, Mary. And it says, in that moment when she heard her name, when she heard him call her name, everything changed. She ran to him and her eyes were open. She hugs him and clings to him and says, Rabbi, my teacher, my savior, you're alive. Today, if you're blurred, if your vision is blurred and your ears are plugged, in this moment, know he's still calling your name. No matter how far you've run, no matter what mistake you've made, no matter what someone else has said about you or you have believed about yourself, know today that your name is on his lips and he is calling your name. He wants you to have eyes to see that he's right there and he's always been right there. In this moment, everything changes about her journey. We see that in a second, as we're going to unpack, not only is she known by him and shows that there's a personal relationship, that her Savior is risen, but there becomes a call to purpose, that right after knowing there is a direction to go. But sometimes we get that mixed up in the church where we're all about what can we do and how can we earn before actually being known by our Savior and knowing him. But in this moment, we see that the resurrection became real for Mary, not at even the empty tomb. The resurrection became real for Mary when it became personal. For some in this place, you've heard the Easter story. You've heard the journey that we just celebrated last week over and over, and it's become almost mundane. We've lost the awe and the wow of what really happened. We are like, well, you know, it's just a story that pastor's going to tell or a pastor around the globe is going to tell. But maybe today you have to realize that the resurrection is personal for you. It's personal for me because he is risen, not just was risen, but because he is still risen today in the present tense. You and I have hope. You and I have a future. The grave couldn't hold him. And because of that, we know eternally the grave will not hold you or me. And for that, that's good news, church. Well, if you believe it, we have to be reminded of this truth. And it became real to Mary in that moment that everything that Jesus had said was true. Every promise was true. When we see and talk about the resurrection, it's proof that everything in Scripture is true and will always be true. It's proof that every promise that the Father and Son have made will come to pass. Because just like the angel said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is risen just like he said he would. In those moments, it's remembering the truth that everything that Jesus has said will occur. It became real to her. It wasn't just a theory. It wasn't just a statement. It wasn't a secondhand account. But in this moment, oh, she clung to him. Mary, Oh, it's you, Jesus. And she clings. But we have to realize that truth, that he's still doing the same thing to us. But the first call that he has on our lives as we go through this series, talking about that you and I are called, sometimes with a surprising call upon our lives. But the first thing we need to know is that we are called to know way before we are called to go. So if you can do me a favor, making sure you're still awake, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're called to know. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you're called to know before you're called to go. Because in our churches and in our world, lots of times, and in the world that we live, in the culture that we live, it's all about what can you do for me? And many of us treat Jesus the same way. Yes, he calls us to a new way of living. Yes, he calls us to discipleship. Yes, he calls us to all of those things. He calls us to purpose. He calls us to walk it out. But first, he's calling us to a personal relationship. He wants us to know him and us to be known by him, the one who made us. So in this journey, I love what Oswald Chambers puts it. He puts it this way: the call of God is not first to a task, but to a relationship. This morning, God is calling your name not for what you can do for him, because he's God. We get the privilege of being used by God and partnering with him in his kingdom work. But we have to get this really clear in our minds. He doesn't need us. He is God. He's above all. We get the honor and the privilege of partnering with his kingdom work on this earth. We get the privilege of partnering with him in a relationship. The call that he calls your name is not so that you can do more, but that you can know him and experience his loving embrace of the Father. The reason he went to the cross, Jesus, so that the relationship could be restored between us and the Father, that a holy God could get close and draw close to a sin-filled people, that because of his atoning sacrifice once and for all, making it right, we could be in healthy relationship, that we, you and I, could actually know him. So he's calling you by name. He's calling us to come close so that you and I would know him. Before he sends you, he sees you. How many in our world, you don't have to show by hands, but how many have ever felt overlooked, missed, like nobody sees you? Today I want to tell you that Jesus sees you. He sees you. He sees your hurt. He sees your triumphs. He sees everything about you. Oh, and he still calls your name because he wants to be known by you. He wants to draw close. And in those moments, he calls us out of our fear and our hurt and into the new life that the death and resurrection has made a way for. When Jesus calls your name, hope becomes personal and purpose begins, and we go to our second truth. Not only are we called by name and we're called by hope, but we're called to go. We see Mary, and sometimes we forget about Mary's journey here. We see Mary sitting around and she's waiting at the tomb, wanting to care for Jesus' body, wanting to be close to the one that she's lost. But Mary has a little bit of a checkered past, and some we've twisted a little bit when we interpret scripture. But the things that we do know fully about Mary Magdalene is she was a passionate follower of Jesus. She even financially supported. But before all of that, she actually was possessed with demonic spirits. She had evil spirits upon her. I don't know if that would be the one that you're saying, hey, I'm going to call you by name and I'm calling you to go. In our day, we would say, well, she's a little bit rough around the edges. Maybe we shouldn't invest. We shouldn't spend the time. But Jesus, earlier in his ministry, cast those out, and she follows along, and she's a committed follower of Jesus. He loves to call by name and call to purpose those who have been discredited, those who seemingly have been disqualified. So today, if you feel like nobody's seen you, you feel like your past is too checkered to be called by name and used by God, I want to tell you today that if he could use Mary, he can use you. If he could use Mary and he can use me, he can use you. He's reminding us in this moment that he calls her by name in those moments, and that resurrection, as she realized that the resurrection is true, that she's hugging the resurrected Savior, that he has risen in this moment, he calls her without even the words to a living and active faith. He says, she clings, it's personal. You're real. Jesus, you're right here. Can you imagine that first hug? Don't skip over it. Ever find somebody or been away from someone for a long time? You know, they've maybe been traveling, or if you've got students that are off to school, or some of you are at school, and you go home and you find a parent or a loved one, and you get close, and it's like, I just want to embrace you. I just want to feel that you are real and you're there. Can you imagine the raw emotion of this time? Mary comes, Rabbi, teacher, you're real, you're here, the resurrected king is here, just like you said. I'm sure she's jumping, and Jesus says these words, not in a harshness, don't cling to me. He wasn't saying it in a rough way. He's saying, oh, I'm here, I'm alive, my job on the cross is done, but I haven't ascended. Go and tell. Because when he calls your name, he calls you to live in an act of faith. He calls you to live out the truth of the resurrection. Calls you to live out the truth of what happened on the cross. You and I were not meant to be bumps on log taking up someone else's oxygen. You and I have a purpose and a plan that God has placed for our lives. No matter your journey, no matter your background, no matter what someone else has said, he is calling you today by name, and he's calling you then to go. He gives you purpose. He gives you a plan, even today, if that purpose is only to go and tell. Our theme for the whole year has been the good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to do what? To go and proclaim, to go and preach, to go and liberate, to go and set free. He is challenging us to go. He calls us by name to know him, and then he calls us by name to go. Once we know, we're called to... Okay, you're listening. I like this. He uses those words, but go. Not get off, but no. Oh, I know that love. I can feel that love. I can see expressed in your face. You love me. You know me. But go. Your story's not over. Their story's not over. Go and tell of the freedom. Go and tell of what you've just experienced. Go and tell that I'm going to see my Father, and he's my God and your God. Go and let them know the good news. Today, he's calling your name, and for some, he's already called your name, but now it's time to go. Now it's time to go and share of what you already know, to move into the byways and the highways, to go into the darkest of places, to go into the hurt, into the loss, go into the places where they're experiencing and saying, there could not be any more hope, to go to those sides of the tombs and say, there is hope, and his name is Jesus, and he is risen. He's telling us to do the same. But I love that truth that just moments before, she mistook Jesus for the gardener. I don't know about you, that gives me hope. Because there's moments where I'm like, are you serious, God? You picked me? Sure, you've had those moments. Obviously not, probably. But when you look yourself in the mirror, there's certain moments I'm like, really, God? Okay, you're God, not me. In those moments, I think Mary still even wrestled with that. As we unpack the culture of the day, he picked, and he was sending a message about what his kingdom would look like, of who he was, Jesus was, and what his kingdom then and his kingdom coming would look like. He was turning it upside down like he did at the Sermon on the Mount of the upside down kingdom. In those days, if you wanted the story to get out, you wouldn't take those who were without power. You would take the powerful, you would take the religious, you would take the rich, and you would say, here, go and take my story and share it everywhere. But instead, he takes a lady who had a bit of a checkered past because of the spirits. We take this lady who in that day, where ladies were not viewed in high esteem, their word did not carry the same weight that it should. But in that day of the culture, it didn't. But he says, I choose you. But couldn't you pick somebody else? No, I choose you. But are they going to believe what I have to say? I choose you. Go. Live out the faith that I've chosen. Live out the faith that you've experienced with that hug. He's choosing us. Some in this place, maybe you feel disqualified, maybe you feel overlooked, maybe you have all those excuses of why, but I want to let you know this morning that his call on your life is not a crank call. Anybody ever get a crank call? See, you're showing age. Now it shows up. But before, understand, before, caller ID, and if you didn't do like star six, whatever, you would make these phone calls. None of you ever did it. Me as a teenager, remember that she used my whole name. And so in those moments, you'd make these crank calls, and you'd call somebody, and you'd say this, and then they'd say something else, and you'd hang up and hope they didn't call back. Some of us feel like what we're getting when God calls us, when God calls our name, when God says, I have a purpose and plan for you, that it's good and it's prosperous and that you're going to walk through this. Some of us, because of our circumstances of what we're walking through right now, feel like that call on our life was nothing more than a crank call or a prank call. But I want to tell you, his words and his call is true. It's trustworthy. It's good. That even if you're walking through a season right now that doesn't feel like that call, even if you're walking through a season right now that feels like you are walking through hell, keep going, because his call of your name and his call on your life is true and trustworthy, and it will come to pass. He is not the one who is making crank calls. Instead, he has a purpose on your life, saying, go and tell. We go to our last point this morning. That not only is hope calling today, because he is, Jesus is still calling by name and hope is still rising. Not only is he calling us to go and to go and tell, but you and I need to be reminded, and it has to be implanted so deep into our hearts, into our spirit, into our soul, that it resonates there. That's what this whole series hopefully will do, that truth will be so imprinted in your spirit and so printed in your heart that no matter what else comes against you, you will know, and we will know as a church, that you are called, that you are chosen, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter if it seems big or small, you are important in the family of God and his kingdom work, and we have to actually walk it out because you and I are called on purpose. Mary wasn't chosen, and Mary wasn't there on accident. She was called on purpose. God was working in her life, changing in her life, setting her up for that day that she would run back to the disciples and say, he is risen. I've felt him. I've hugged him. He is there. He told me this message to share, that he has not yet ascended, but he is going to his Father. Know that truth. Lean into that truth. But today, as you walk out of this place or get ready to leave, in those moments, I'm sure that the enemy of your soul, the enemy who's going to whisper and say, he wasn't talking about you this morning. Ever been there? You see yourself in the mirror, you wake up and you're like, well, pastor was talking about that person, my neighbor, the one I told that nice good news to, but they didn't tell me anything back. Because we sometimes feel like our life and our journey, our present, our past, it's not enough. That we're not qualified. But I love the account when you see in John 20 and 21. I encourage you this week, read through the whole chapter of John 20 and 21. See what occurs there. See how many times that he calls people out of their mess and he calls them into their purpose or recalls them. And I want to remind you of these just so that tomorrow or tonight when you're thinking about it, you're like, well, that word was for Pastor Scott or for this person or that person, but it wasn't for you. I want you to know today that that message that we're talking about today, that he calls by names, calls you to purpose, is for me, it's for you, it's for all of us in this place, online, and guess what, church? It's for all of our neighbors, all of our classmates, all of our colleagues, because God has called us to a purpose. So what are some things that we wrestle with a little bit? I'm sure Mary would have had those moments of sitting there saying, you know, are they going to believe me? We know the rest of the story, but could you imagine the claim that she's about to make? Running back to a scared group of disciples and early apostles, and now she is the sent one. She is an apostle to the apostles. And sometimes we wrestle with, can ladies preach and ladies share the good news? I don't know. Jesus chose one. That's an out your amen moment. Because in that moment, he sent the one that everybody would discredit, everyone who would look down upon, and he says, go and tell the rest of them that the story is not over, but there is hope today. There is hope for your future. And she goes as an evangelist. She goes as an apostle to the apostles to share of the good news that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And because of that truth, everything changes. But what about her past? What about the fact that she was a lady? Jesus says, I called you. And I think every time there was doubt that rose up, there would have been those moments. Mary, 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 Curtis James Goodgery, okay. As you turn and says, no, my past does not define me. My journey, the evil of my life does not define me. Jesus does. His cross and his resurrection, that's what defines me. I am in Christ, as Paul would say throughout Ephesians. Now we are in Christ. We are no longer in our sin, no longer in our past, but called out of that and into the new life that he made a way for. But even in those moments, we see Peter. We see Peter in John 21, the one who was called to be the one who was the church was going to be built on, the one who's slicing and dicing in the garden. But he's the one who just moments later is saying, I don't know him. I don't know him. But where do we see Jesus go? To the one who's denied, the one who's failed. Goes and has lunch and he says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, you know I do. Feed my sheep. Three calls of purpose to three denials. Saying, oh, for every denial, for every failure, I'm speaking life. I'm speaking hope. I'm speaking restoration. I'm speaking a reclaiming of the call that was stolen off your life. For some in this place, God has called you to some things, but your choices, your failures, your denials, you feel like that call has been wiped off your life, that there's no way that you can walk into it. Today I want to declare just from the truth of the resurrected King of where he called Peter out of those things. Your call is not done. He is still calling your name. He is still giving you purpose. And he's saying, your past is your past. Let's walk into your future, the new life of what he's made a way for. But it doesn't even stop with Mary. It doesn't even stop with Peter. We get someone that most of us can relate to, Thomas. Prove it. That's great, Mary. I'm glad that you hugged him, but I don't know if I believe you. Do you remember your past? Until I see him, I won't believe it. Ever have those thoughts about God? Ever have those thoughts about faith in general? Ever have those thoughts that God could use you to do great things? We're not that much different than Thomas, are we? But what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, well, you doubt me, get lost. He says, here, I see in your doubt. I see in your hurt. I see in you in the loss. I understand. Look at my hands. Don't just look, touch. See what's going on. Experience the truth of the resurrection. That call is still for us today. Experience the truth of the cross in his resurrection for your life. It's not a fable. This is true. This is historical. There is power in the cross. There's power in the risen power that raised him from the dead, the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is still moving. It says, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells within you. He's calling you by name. He's calling you into purpose. He's got a plan. I love this truth as we get ready to land this plane. He's calling us out of our fear, out of our failure, and out of our doubts, and into his purposes. Church, the great thing about the good news, it's not for a select few. It's for all of us. It's good news for each and every one in this place and each and every one online. Today, he is calling you by name. Maybe some for the very first time, but he's not just stopping there. He's getting ready to call you into purpose, to take a step. I don't know about you, but when he calls, I want to recognize his voice. I want to respond. What would have happened if Mary didn't respond? Imagine what she would have missed. Church, this morning, what are we missing? Because we're not hearing his voice calling our name and calling us to go. Because we see in Scripture, he is still calling. He spoke today. Will we recognize and will we respond in kind? I can only speak for me. And my answer is yes. I want to hear his voice and I want to respond to his call to go. But I can't answer for you. So today as we pray, and I'm going to ask if everyone in this place, if you're able, if you would stand. That if your answer today, even as we launch this whole series, is, yeah, I want to hear your voice. I don't know if you are, but I want to hear your voice, and I want to respond. If your answer today is yes, that as we're praying, maybe under your breath, or maybe some quietly, you might just have to say, here am I, God. I hear you, and I'm responding. Because I believe that when we turn our hearts towards him, oh, he's going to sit there and say, go. Go and tell. Step out in this area. Because in this place, he has such great purpose and plans for our lives. But it has to start with us knowing him and his ways first. So let's, church, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much today for who you are. Lord, we thank you today that it wasn't just then, but you are still calling names today. That you're calling us individually by name. You know us. You know us in our failure. You know us in our doubts. But you don't run away, but instead you call us close. So help us today. Help us from the youngest to the oldest. Help us from those who don't know you yet and have known you for a long time. Let us hear your call upon our lives. Let us in our spirits hear your voice saying, here am I, call us by name. Let us begin to know your heart, know your purposes, know your ways. And then let us have the courage to step out when you say go. So Lord, we pray for courage throughout this place and online, that today we would have ears to hear what your spirit is saying, and we would have courage and passion to step out, maybe for the very first time. So go with us today. Holy Spirit, empower us, guide us and lead us. Let us be a church and individuals who hear your call and respond to it. That we would not mistake you, Jesus, for the gardener anymore. But instead we would know you and we would follow your lead. Be with us, guide us, direct us, empower us. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Love you, church. Be blessed. For any who would like personal prayer, we're just going to be having prayer over on this side of the stage. But others, be blessed this week.